The struggle is real for women of color in leadership. From battling race and cultural biases to silencing that relentless inner critic, it's a lot. Welcome to Unshackled Leadership, a lantern for Black women. Here we will share, teach, and laugh. Yes, I said laugh. As we guide you from just being excellent to stepping boldly into your zone of genius. I'm Joya Jefferson Nuri, your host and ICF certified leadership coach. Ready to level up together? Let's do this. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Unshackled Leadership. You know, we all have dreams of achieving greatness, but even after years of preparation, we still may wonder if we're truly ready. Our next guest, Artisha Moore, faced this very challenge when she became a first-time CEO just a few years ago. Artisha is the president and CEO of Association Forum, the leading organization for associations, and they're based in Chicago. With over two decades of expertise, she has consistently empowered associations to surpass their membership and volunteer engagement targets. Her strategic leadership has seamlessly integrated multi-million dollar online educational systems and advanced web technologies, driving substantial growth in membership and volunteer leadership for a number of professional organizations, societies, and associations. Artisha, welcome to Unshackled Leadership.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, very good. Thank you. All right, so here's my question. I just read this glorious resume, this glorious bio of 20 years in the making, and then you became a CEO. Were you ready?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think for me, especially in my career, I never looked at title. I looked at problems that I could help solve. So that's the first thing. And being into this big title of CEO, I kind of ran from it versus running to it. So was I ready when I got into it? Could I do the technical job? Yeah. I've been working on those technical skills for a long time. Being the figurehead of a very visible association of associations, yeah, I wasn't ready.
Yeah. So what did that look like, not being ready?
It looks like a lot of quoting Harvard Business Review articles, but not living a leadership authentic life. I felt like I was doing two things. I could put on the suit.
Yeah.
But I also was on a journey that started well before this job of owning my own identity. In 2020, many of us as Black people in the United States said, we're not going to put the mask back on. The code switching is done. So as I was very out in front of that, very vocal, how do you now put on the suit?
Yeah.
It was difficult for me to accept that I didn't have to. I thought I did. So when and being ready and being the CEO and my imposter feelings came up because I thought I needed to be something different to be successful.
So yeah, we're taught what the uniform looks like and what the behavior is supposed to look like. But you know, those rules were set by people who are not us. And those rules are even killing them.
True that.
At this point,
that.
They don't want to do the look like the CEO, do the 80-hour week. No, COVID changed it for a lot of people, including the people who made the rules.
Yeah. I think that that's an interesting piece because I probably do more than 80 hours a week now, but because I love it, it's a different thing.
It's
do what I love.
To achieve.
No. And I tell others when they ask me to. One thing I can say, a thread through my 20 plus year career, is that I love what I do.
Yeah.
I love it. So as I move forward and I've been blessed to achieve, what God has put in me is this part of giving back in a way that this career industry has allowed me to do it. But I am me. When anybody meets me, not just today, but I could say even my friends from 10 years ago, authenticity has been a threat. But that authenticity bumped up against what you just said, what I thought it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Right. Like what I thought it was supposed to be. I'm beautifully now able to say after 2 years, I'm the establishment. And so I get to be whatever I want to be, right? Like and be part of making what the new establishment is.
That's beautiful. But let's go back to when it bumped up against.
It's still bumping up against.
But let's go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
You still have that argument. So your authentic self, Black woman in America, mm-hmm. well-educated, highly trained, lots of experience, becomes the head of a huge, well-known association. You're not just like the association down the street from my house. You are, you know, like, you know, association of, you know, farmers markets. You are a huge, run a huge organization. And many of us little colored girls were told, all of us little colored girls were told, that's just something that happens in fairy tales for somebody else. Tell me how you reconciled that.
I think there's days that I still struggle with that. Mm. I'm not gonna say that it's not a struggle. I am a Black woman in America, period. So the pieces for me, I've been built for it a little bit. Because I was a technologist in this space in the early 2000s when I was the first only Black woman, uneducated, but yet smart enough to lead IT teams. Mm-hmm. And so coming into the role of CEO, there was a lot of, who do you think you are? Who told you could even be this?
From others or from within?
Within. Now, they could say it not to my face, though.
This is a dialogue you were having with yourself about who do you think you are. Okay.
Especially because that kind of period, so many of these very visible things were happening. I was named a fellow within my industry. And I thought, well, I'm not the typical one, so maybe they got it wrong, right? Like, maybe they're going to call me back and say, give me that back. The CEO, I remember when I interviewed, I didn't think that they would give me this job. Like, are they crazy? Like, what? So I remember interviewing in the most easy conversation of what I could do, how I could do it, what it was. And then when they called me the next day to make the offer, the shock of it.
Like, you had the wrong number.
Yeah, like y'all remember that I was the one who was like, mic drop, right? Like, y'all need to get it together and our industry may not exist and you're going to hire me? Okay, great. Well, once I did that, these are my peers that I've looked up to in Chicago for a long time. Now I'm in charge. Mm-hmm. Who do you think you are? And make sure you don't say this. Make sure you don't say that. So I spent too much energy, not too much, a lot of energy in those first months, just trying to figure out what are you? Not even what are you going to do? What are you?
So those are elements that I would call the inner critic. Mm-hmm. That who are you? What are you? Questions, mm-hmm. you know, it's almost like you come into a situation like you did, you're a first time CEO. Coming from being a technologist, which is a monumental leap in the professional mm-hmm. world. And this, it's almost like you're having, I would suspect, it was like you're having an out-of-body experience. Like you're going to work, you're doing the work, but there's a whole part of your soul that's not there. Was that, how does that mm-hmm. resonate with you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That resonates deeply. And so I will just out myself a little bit. Mm-hmm. For the listeners here, my inner critic is fabulously named Bridget. And
I
so
on the name their inner critic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Bridget And I had to get into a relationship because I thought that Bridget at first was Artesia. Mm-hmm. And all of those conversations that I had many of times when I was teaching myself to do something or out of fear where I had to act, I thought that that was my get up and go and keep me together and do those other things. I didn't realize that that voice wasn't me, and where she was coming from was from a place so early on that it's been with me this whole time.
Mm-hmm. Influence.
And so, the influencing, driving things, making this continued feeling of not safe. Don't say too much. Don't do too much. Don't look too bold. Don't be proud of the work you've done. Don't say, hey, you've accomplished a lot, because they're going to get you. It's going to get you. You're going to fall out. Or something. So that kind of energy, having to deal with that.
Were those the voices that you heard when you were growing up?
Yeah.
Did you hear that from family?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And to keep us safe. And now I can say, looking back and being a bit older, well, more read for sure. And having good executive coaches like you, to be able to lean into, to say, wait, that might be a different voice. But one of the things that I've learned is that the generational hurt comes through with how we groom the next generation. So my grandmother, when I lived with her, would say those things because she grew up in the Depression in North Carolina in a rural place. And being bold, too smart, too visible wasn't safe. In DC in the 80s and 90s, being bold, too loud, too visible in places that had crack or this or that was not safe. When my mom and dad took us, they grew up in the military, took us overseas, but we lived in places like Waynesville, Missouri. And coming from Chocolate City of Washington, DC, there were Klan marches. So being too far away, being too bold, or making white people feel othered is not safe. So those things that I kept hearing that were to keep me safe created a beautiful cage around my potential growth of a leader, because I kept saying, don't do too much. Don't go out here. Don't do this. And that became the rules of the road. And then, oh, I took the job at the second largest group of associations and way visible. And here comes Bridget.
And she just brought all of that back.
And then some. She had a whole designer luggage set that she brought with her.
Yeah, she brought all the luggage, all the baggage.
Oh my goodness.
All of the pain.
Laid it out. Yeah. And said, you're going to unpack all of this.
I think what's important about what you're saying here for women of color to know, that your inner critic is a real thing. It's not a fleeting thought.
No.
It's not something where today you feel bad about yourself and tomorrow you'll feel better. No, tomorrow you might feel worse. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the third day you feel better, but by the end of the day, you're going to feel worse. And that understanding that the inner critic is a real entity. And the beauty of you naming your inner critic means that you can set up a conversation. You can separate her, your child, your wounded child, from your adult. You know, the emotionally mature adult who can discern and not just react. Yeah. I think that's very important for people to understand.
Yeah.
The inner critic is real. And, you know, and you mentioned that I was your coach, but when did you first realize that that's who was talking?
Now, I'm going to say this. I've been in therapy before executive coaching for a decade. I think it was in this role, because my therapist has said, similar things, but it was in the executive coaching sessions with you that when you asked the question about it, I had never thought of that in that way, never. And so you said things like, well, when did this first occur? And doing some thinking and meditation back to fourth grade, I can see her with the Jerry curl and everything. Baby, yeah. She was fly. That's where Bridget came from. Okay. Because I loved fly stuff back when I was little. But those things that little Artesia face, who also was a math lead in elementary school and middle school, who also was very much into things that was told I could do anything for my family, but also don't do too much, right, from the world, that it was interesting to really start to sit in it and say, wait. That running feeling that you've been feeling most of your life is coming from a place that was built and constructed when you were little. And I just keep feeding it and letting that little person drive it. Get in the driver's seat, right, fourth grader, and take us to Chicago.
Into a job that is bigger than you imagined, even as a young adult. So that's what I was saying about out of body. Despite Bridget's mantra or mantras, you kept moving. And I think that that's part of the confusion with women of color in leadership, that you have all of these demonic things going on in your head about who you are, what you look like, the color of your skin, the texture of your skin, you know, who you hang out with, are you smart enough to be in this group, you know, and, you know, then we have that interracial thing of who's light skin, who's dark skin, who has naturally black, you know, our people have been battling that from the beginning. And we still battle it on lots of levels. Maybe not as pronounced, but we still battle that. But
I think it's pronounced. Social media. Okay.
Social media.
Look at it.
Pronounces it. Yeah. Social media pronounces it. And who gets to be the ultimate leader? Not the dark skinned black guy.
No.
You know. But we have this ongoing thing that I would love for you to talk about, is the out of body, where you went for the job, knowing you weren't going to get it, yet something drove you to go anyway, beyond Bridget. Something drove you to go anyway. And talk about that.
I have a tenacity to succeed. I remember early on, my dad is a basketball player, my sister, and they're all athletes. And I am clumsy as hell. I am not an athlete. But my mom was like, you're the most competitive person I know. Whatever, if somebody says that I can't have it, even though I'm fighting with Bridget, I'm going to have it. Or I'm going to figure it out. So from whether it's taking apart phones when I was little or teaching myself SQL code so I could do, I have to survive. Not just, I don't think about collecting things. I think about survival. I need skills in order to feed myself. I come from a poor working class family. So there's a lot of that. I'm the oldest. There's a lot of that energy too. But then at the end of the day, the Sagittarian spirit is the tenacity to succeed. I don't know that piece of it. So I'll do the inner battle. I will. I won't. I'll hide in other ways. I'll go to work and I will excel, but then at home, maybe I don't shine as bright sometimes, or I ruminate too much. I've been in therapy with the same therapist for 12 years, so there's a lot of anxiety battling that I deal with. And now I have a grand calling, so it's a different piece that I gotta keep doing it so that the babies will come, right? The babies that come behind me will see that you don't have to be whatever I thought I was supposed to be in order to make waves.
There's this gladiator spirit that I have known you to know have. But with you and all of my clients, I am urging you to put down the shield. You don't need the shield. You don't need the sword. Yet we believe from our training, from our ancestral training, from the training of our grandmothers, that we must have that. What is it? The Bible talks about your body plate.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready to go out and do this battle. But wouldn't it be nice if we could figure out how to do the battle while being in peace, or being at peace?
I'm open. Now, look, I will say this. As I look at my vision board right now in front of me, I've started to define peace in a way that makes it attainable for me. So when you would say, you and I would talk about these things, I'd be like, what the hell is Joy even talking about? She don't understand what I'm going through. You know, that kind of part. You want to go, you want to come with it. And be like, Joy, no, let me say this. And the first thing that you said so many things that scared me, but one that really, really scared me early on was to get silent. What? That was putting down everything, even noise. That scared me half to death. The idea of sitting in a space, I couldn't even, you said 30 minutes. I was like, in the what? I started literally with 2.5 minutes. I couldn't even be quiet. When I got to 5 minutes, I cried. It took weeks. So now as I build what
peace
is. But
I told you to keep doing it.
I did, and look.
I told you to keep doing it.
And I leaned into it.
Yeah.
You sent me, and I'm going to need you to send it back to me again, this meditation that had like drums, and it had drums with it, and it was making me feel uneasy.
Sawadi Inyango is the guide of that. And anybody looking for that, it's an I Am meditation by a African woman. And it's on Insight Timer, which is an app I use all the time. It's free.
I'm addicted now.
And it has so many Black women meditation guides, Black men meditation guides. You have to go looking for them. But Zawadi Inyango, her name will be in the description, and a link to her meditation will be in the description.
It's so good. So this gladiator spirit, I understand when I need to activate it. I did a lot of work since my executive coaching around leaning into the divine feminine spirit. You and I talked about, I tend to be very masculine in my presenting as far as my energy and conqueror and go take it and take over the mountain. And so having to accept and lean into things that are quiet, softer, things that are timing based. Everything don't have to happen right now. T-shirt. That's my nickname, not Bridget. T-shirt. Everything don't have to happen right now. T-shirt. See, I want it now. I wanted this. I wanted that. I wanted this. So on one of the stickers I have says, release my addiction to busyness. As an American of a certain age, we are taught in a technologically advanced thing that we always need to be on and connected and doing and going and blah, 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 and yet we are lonelier than ever. We're dying faster and from things that we couldn't even imagine 20 years ago. And even our brains are being impacted in ways that we may not be able to revert back from because of this busyness, because of this gladiator spirit. And as Black women, especially in the United States, we have had to raise everybody and save everybody.
Indeed.
And so now when I put down the gladiator kind of shield to say, I ain't trying to save you, it do have a little bit of aversion in my spirit. But I know that that is because I'm unlearning. It's hard, though. And that quiet is where it starts. And now before we just got on, I said I was buzzing. I've been buzzing. So what did I do today? I said, okay, we're about to turn off everything. Not just for today, for 30 days. I need to turn off the TV. I've been off of social media since April. I need to turn off the Audible and read an actual book. I need to turn it off. And before I met you, that wouldn't have even been heard of.
Yeah. You know, we talked about putting down that shield. And I think because you're right, we have been holding that shield with everybody behind us. And so many of us are first time success. So many of us are first time, or our generation, our siblings, were the only ones who were able to have disposable income and live lives of some level of leisure. Okay. We can afford the peace, the quiet.
Yeah.
If we get to it. But as you and I talked about, and as I talk about with a lot of my clients, and I had to talk about it with myself, those people I was holding the shield up for them were protected by the same God that protected me. And was I in the way of their journey? Because I'll do that for you. I'll do that for you. I'll send you money for that. I'll come over there and do that. I'll go to that meeting with you. I'll do that. I'll make that appointment for you. I think you should do this, and I'm going to take care of it. Are we in the way of that? So how does that resonate with you? What do you think of what I just said?
You're laughing. I'm about to spin around in this chair, because why are you talking about me? So it is... It is so true. It is so, oh Lord, that's me yesterday. Yeah, and so I have to remind myself too of something that we talked about a couple years ago, and it just, what you just said, that God didn't show up to fix nobody. Accepted it. So I think the word you said was, so isn't it arrogant for you to think that you gonna fix them? And I was like, oh, okay. Well, see, that's what we're talking about.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing we have to make sure we are assessing.
Yeah.
Is this rescue arrogant?
Yeah.
Is this rescue? See, I'm not saying you should abandon your family, abandon your friends, abandon.
No.
But at some point, you have to assess. Am I in the way?
That part. Am I in the way? And your why of it.
Yeah,
because if you're not doing it from that wholehearted place of loving kindness, right? Okay.
If it's rescue.
If it is something that I'm supposed to, or, I'm the only one that could. Or,
you
need to stop
you.
That. Come
I
on.
Pity
you need to stop
I've achieved
it.
You didn't do it. So I pity you. Yeah.
So it's important to really get dare I say quiet, get quiet to understand when it is pulling. So even right now, I say that because I did have to exercise it recently with my own family. And it wasn't them asking me for anything. It was me about to jump in and fix it, to get it, about to do it, about to fix it, about to do it. And so even in the space when there was maybe it was a softball lob up, right? Like just to throw it up and see if I would, as t-shirt, just jump in and be like, okay, boom, making money moves. We're going to do this. And I just let it sit there too. Because if it's this today, did nobody ask you to insert yourself? But then the other part, if it does come up, I can say this, this, and this and be okay with it.
Right.
If I have to say no, if I have to do this, if I'm not in those positions, because
I'm willing to do this, but not all of that.
Yeah.
Or
because the guilt.
I'm going to have to let you fall.
Yeah. The guilt is subsiding. There's days that I feel guilty.
Guilt is what we carry as a race.
Yeah.
Survivor's remorse. We carry it as women because we pity everybody. We pity Miss Ann's children. We pity the men around us a lot of times. We pity our own children, especially our sons. And the question is, are we in the way?
Yeah. Yeah. I've got out of the way because there's other parts that beautifully happen when you do that. Mm-hmm. Not just for you, when for you the let others. It go.
When you can,
yeah,
that beautifully happens.
Yeah,
yeah,
it beautifully happens for everybody.
Yeah,
there's lessons
for
in
everybody.
It.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
For everybody. And so I am excited to see where the journey comes as I get more quiet. I know I'm at the surface of it. I know that.
Yeah.
I'm scared a little bit, but fear is stupid. That's what my other sticker
Bridget
says. So
afraid.
Yeah. And Bridget, I'd be like, okay, it's Bridget, okay.
Less control of you when you quiet your mind and quiet your body and quiet yourselves.
Yeah.
Less control of you in the peace, the meditation. The quiet could actually be a guided meditation if you can't quiet your mind.
Yeah. But yeah, you don't have to do that first.
You will have less control. How's all of this growth and understanding helped you in the last 2 years? You've been growing in the last 2 years. You've been a CEO almost three. So you've been growing almost three. And how has it affected your ability to be the president and CEO? How has it changed you?
So I told someone at dinner, I went to dinner this week with, I call them the cool kids. Everybody at this table was 65 and older, except me. And they invited
me. Make that clear for the audience that you're not 65 years old.
No, I am. No, I'm 47. I'll be 48 in a couple of weeks. And so they're like, oh, come on, kiddo, and come with us. But I call them the cool kids because they've been around the block a long time. They're still vibrantly young in their thinking of exploratory and what can be done in those things. And so I told them, I'm a full grown up now as a CEO. Earlier this year, the aha that broke through in my mind was not all of the things that I've been working on, but in the inner, but also the job itself. So I took the job and I looked at the job description and I owned the tactical things and I got scared and all of that. But earlier this year, I had to make decisions that were devastatingly hard. I had to cut positions of people that I actually cared about as people and cried. But I realized my job is to save the brand. My job is to save the future of and do what I can for my industry. And I'm going to have to make tough decisions. Bridget didn't act up. Because I understand that in this, whatever happens, I'm safe. I'm doing the best of what I can do and moving forward in the space that even if I mess up, that gives more opportunities to do something different. Yeah. So, and letting go of trying to keep everything and help everybody and do everything and bring the outcome that I thought it was going to be and what the board wanted and this. When I let go of that, I told the cool kids, I'm grown now. And they just laughed at dinner and said, look at her, right? I'm grown now. I understand what it is to walk as the CEO. You and I talked about, and you will remember this, I didn't like the word entrepreneur. Remember, I didn't like that. I didn't like how it felt. I didn't like being the owner. I didn't like how that felt. I didn't like no parts of that. I wanted to be the leader of the team and the big leader. I will say today, I am not deluding myself in what I signed up for. I am in charge of the future while I'm here right now, and I am owning it, and I'm loving it. I paused in it because I wanted to make sure I was clear with my language. I love it the way that you love your family. There are some days that I want to throw my shoe at the job. I don't know. Just throw my shoe at the job.
Like, your family.
Exactly. Like, why don't you just get it out?
Yeah.
But then at the end of it, I would pick the shoes up and be like, I love y'all, you know? So, and that's the thing. That's the ohm.
Yeah.
I don't know. Today is going to be good. There is no good. Like the Matrix, there is no spoon, right? I'm out here.
There just
in
is.
This. It just is. I just am.
I thank you for that. I think that if all of us could move to a place where we're not judging the moment, it's not good, it's not bad, it's not up, it's not down, it just is.
It just is.
It was a good meeting, it was a bad meeting. We don't have to do that. It was a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And in that meeting, I now need to manage my emotions around it. Am I ecstatic and I jump down and run up the hallway and pass out ice cream? Or am I going to be depressed? How about not having any of those extremes? I mean, yes, I'd like your ice cream if you're passing it out.
Well, not and some cookies. I like cookies and
like
ice
cookies.
Cream.
Yeah.
Yes,
like
let's get
I
it.
Like that. Get some cake. Let's get some cake.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and
we
so
can have
I,
that. But
we, yeah.
we can't compare it to the times you don't want to distribute ice cream.
Mm. It's There's, this beautiful energy. So I'm into this energy stuff now. You know, I'm all woo-woo now. I'm out here. And so in that woo part of the energy.
I want to thank you for following me.
I love it. When you opened up the chakras, I was like, a chakra? What the hell is that? But then
I knew that you would be ready and receiving because not all my clients do I talk like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can introduce. I know instinctively what I can introduce. And what I can't. Okay. Because I don't want to. I don't
Everybody
want to
be like, what in the
religions
world?
Or whatever.
No.
I know.
And it isn't that.
Right. And it's not that. But
yes,
I just can sense what I can bring and how I bring it. And everybody is different.
I'm going to tell them now. I'm just going to tell them since we're talking, it's us and the people listening. She will bring it to you because I'm as. Maybe too much into comic books and some woo-woo stuff and any kind of pop culture reference you could imagine. And so she does that. I love old movies, right, and musicals. But then I also will go into some Deep Space Nine type Star Trek stuff. So she meets me where I am.
I would make analogies in your life that have to do with Marvel comics because you said you like Marvel comics and Star Trek. Pretend you're Spock, you know,
right there. You know, like, so the one that I have on my desk that my employee saw, and then I'll go back to the chakra part, but she saw it this week when I came into this season. I'm, you know, coming up to the annual meeting and we were 12 weeks out and I came in that Monday and I wrote on my little clipboard and it said, it's time to Nick Fury this thing.
Thank you.
That
Nick
comes
Fury.
From you.
That's right. We did a lot of Nick Fury.
We did a lot of Nick Fury.
We did a lot
so
of
I
Nick
wrote
Fury.
It. And so she saw
and
it.
And for the
this
audience
week,
who
she...
has no idea who Nick
oh,
Fury
my goodness.
Is, he's the man who's in charge of the Avengers.
Exactly.
Okay? And he was played by Samuel L. Jackson, who all but cursed in these Marvel movies.
Exactly. And it was very hard for him. And so for those that know, Artesia Moore will laugh when they hear this because I curse incessantly. But that piece of meeting someone where they were, when we talked about it, you and I had shared earlier on that I had studied Eastern religion and philosophy when I was in college.
Which is how I knew I could
bring
the things I know I've studied about Eastern philosophies.
Yeah.
But I, for my clients who I know are devout Christians, I bring that. I want to meet you where you, like you said, I'll meet you where you are because guess what? We're going to all land in the same place.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to
land that chakra work
in the same place.
It's about release. And so whatever your spirituality looks like, it's about release and surrender.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, I got a hodgepodge because my mama gonna listen to this like she ain't no Buddhist. We Baptist, right? So, you know, it's a lot of the things. I think for me right now as a leader, I walk in the space that I meditate every day.
Mm-hmm.
I try to get quiet, but I'm into energy exchange right now. And so it's not good or bad. For me, there's lots of different moods and thoughts and things that come through or not, and it sticks to your psyche. it can stick to your kind of energy. So when you're in a room with a lot of people and you're in the room with the people and you're feeling a bad meeting and you really start to let that affect you, it's all in your stuff. What I know is that we all are connected. Mm-hmm. There's a vibration in that. And so for me as the CEO, I'm connected to everybody all the time.
But not just because you're CEO and that's the CFO.
No, just that. No, not the title. I'm talking about the people.
The energy.
Yeah. And walking down the street, my dog, who don't have no sense. He don't have no sense. But I'm connected with his energy. Because I had surgery over the summer, and I know that we're connected energy-wise because he knew that I needed calm. Mm-hmm. He's a Jack Russell, a Parson Russell Terrier. He don't care about no calm, but he knew. So that piece of being the CEO in the just the my role in this space, not as a human, in the role in the space, when I have a bad meeting, when I have a bad day, when I have a such and such, I try to breathe and remember that we're all connected and somewhere somebody has a positive ripple that's going to come my way soon enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I dance it
and
out.
And we're in no judgment about ripples.
No.
It just is.
It just is. Now, I know when I'm overly energized, I need space.
Yeah.
I'm deep in my baths. I'm deep in my meditation. I have silent days. I'm blessed in certain aspects to be able to have a lifestyle that allows me to unplug completely.
Yeah.
So I'm loving where I am now. I don't know where it's going to go. It could implode next week, but you know what I do know? I'm all right. And so that I think is the win. That's the flex right there, because that never happened before. If something dropped, I was like, oh, damn, it's about to go down, right? That's not where I am now. And my sister said to me when I went home for our annual 10K raise, Boo, you're different. And I said, thank you. I've been working hard to get calm.
That's so beautiful. Artisha Moore, it's so good to see you again.
It's good to see you.
And thank you so very much for being our guest here on Unshackled Leadership. It's been a pleasure.
Joya, thank you for doing this. It's needed. Everybody better be listening to every episode because it helps so much to hear from other people who are going through the same things that you're going through. So thank you for doing this.
Thank you for that plug. I appreciate that. Our guest today was Artisha Moore, the president and CEO of Association Forum. Artisha, thank you again.
Thank you.
Peace out. We've just completed another episode of Unshackled Leadership, a lantern for Black women. Our goal? To leave you feeling empowered and ready to take your next step with confidence and grace. A huge thanks to our audio engineer, Grammy Award-winning artist and producer, Carolyn Malachi. And to Darren Neplett, who composed our theme music. Your talent makes all of this possible. We're in our third season, so not to miss an episode, make sure you subscribe. Your support helps us grow. I'm your host, Joya Jefferson-Nuri. I hope to have you back.